Welcome to the FE Research Podcast, a podcast that aims to showcase the practitioner inquiry, scholarship and research being carried out within further education.
It's a level playing field. They're there to support and help. They're not there to judge. And having that attitude of the door's always open, which we're trying to create with that triangle, that group of people, where the door's open, you can pop in whenever you want and come and sit in the lesson.
Hello and welcome to FE Research Podcast. My name is Jo Fletcher-Saxon and my partner in crime is...
It's Alistair Smith. Hello, Jo. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Not too bad. Happy, happy.
What's happening in Smith Towers?
Smith Towers. Do you know what tonight? I told you about the puppy before. The puppy stole my youngest daughter's crochet and took the ball of wool all around the house. So although that was quite entertaining, she was quite upset.
Puppies. Okay. Well, we're here tonight with Dana Hale from Walsall College. She's a workforce development specialist, which is great because I don't think we've had many workforce development folk on the podcast. She's about to start her EdD, but she's got all sorts of projects going on and all sorts of aspirations in terms of, you know, what research might do in terms of the college. So that's what we're going to be talking about. So welcome, Dana. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's lovely to have you. So do you want to tell us a bit about you then, about Dana and what you do?
Yeah, so I've just started as WFD specialist for Walsall College. About 3 months now I've been in that role. My main role is GCSE English lecturer as well, to 16 to 18 year olds. So that's what I mainly do. And then obviously this role on top where I've been looking at a lot of projects lately that hopefully stem towards my EdD and what I want to do on that.
Okay, and what is it you want to do on your EdD then? So have you put your application in then? Where is that process up to?
Yeah, so I've got my unconditional offer now at Wolverhampton University, so ready to go. The main thing that I'm looking at really is coaching. So we did a course with the university about a year. That we were looking at coaching and collaboration with other staff. From that stemmed the idea of coaching and trying to develop that at the college and to make an impact with coaching.
Okay. Well, and what particular model or models of coaching did you explore with the university?
So I looked at some that I did on my master's. That I created one of my own models. It was based on new teachers or people that wanted to get into teaching. So it's quite nurturing, but it didn't really work with staff that were already developed and in the college. So we started to look at other models when we got to that point. So we looked at the GROW model. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's a new model that I can't remember what it's called, but it's based off the GROW model, but it goes into a little bit more detail. Okay. So that's the direction we ended up going as a group. We ended up being in triangles, so we called it triangulation. So two of us would go into each other's classes, go and see how we work. It was cross college as well, so looking how other staff delivered their vocations as well. So it was really interesting and we got a lot from it, especially specialist to specialist observations as well. Were completely different. The feedback was completely different to the non-specialist to go in there. So we found a lot of research really from that and working in triangles with other staff.
Yeah. So it sounds like a really rich potential learning environment, really. So you've not gone down the instructional coaching, direct instruction route then?
No, more holistic and working together and collaboration and just trying to really team people up and it's all about collaboration, really. Yeah. That's the biggest theme that kind of...
it sounds a little bit like lesson study, you're going into each other's spaces, and yeah, maybe that's something else that you'll explore. Okay, so I know when we've talked before, you've talked about in trying to increase research engagement, or evidence based, I suppose we might say these days, don't we? Yeah. That's the lingo, yeah. Evidence based teaching, etc. You're aspiring to do that in part through coaching. So what do you think the challenges and opportunities are for research engagement at the college?
I think that there's a lot of opportunity. There's pockets of people across the college that are doing it, and one of those people being myself. And it was a bit of a light bulb moment when I went on a LSRN conference where they were talking about the research that they've done, joint practice, and it was kind of like, you know, we need to make this more structured in our college. And even though we've got those pockets, they don't really seem to link in a more of a structured way. So everyone's on board, or at least the majority of staff are having that accessibility and opportunity to it. But coming to the challenges of obviously that accessibility and having time, really, I think it's time restraints, funding restraints for the college to allow us to have that time off timetable all together. To be able to collaborate. And again, it just tied so nicely with the course that we were doing, because we all did it on a Friday afternoon, and we found that time so valuable to have with one another, not just for the coaching aspect, but for that research and like-minded people, and feeling part of something more than just your usual cohort of your team that you specialise with. So it was just really nice, and it seemed to, after that conference, it all tied together, and I thought this is something that we could work on at the college, really.
It's interesting, actually. It sounds like you found it quite an empowering or refreshing space to be in compared to CPD or professional learning environments you've been in before. Would you say that's the case?
Definitely. This year, it's just opened my eyes to so much more. And I feel like I've found my passion again, really, to be in education and a reason why I'm doing it. You know, I think sometimes you get stuck in a rut, and it's really, like I said, opened my eyes, going to new conferences that I haven't been before, working with people who I didn't know before as well. So it's been really nice, and yeah, really refreshing. And I think gave me the boost that I needed to carry on in education.
So it's so interesting you're saying that, because my PhD, you know, I've been interviewing people who have been to a greater or lesser degree involved in practitioner research, and that is a kind of a theme that I'm sure I'll be drawing out in my thematic analysis, is that a sense of people feeling refreshed and re-engaged with their careers and so on, which, you know, yeah, so it's interesting to hear that. Okay, I'm going to hand over to Alistair now for a few more questions.
Thank you. That was really interesting listening to you saying there, Dana, about that kind of feeling of refreshment, because I think that's something that I experienced. And actually, without going into the whole origin story, really how the podcast started, because I think Joe organised something that sort of set my brain going again. So it's nice to hear that. So that's kind of one impact for you, okay? But what impact are you hoping for from the work that you're doing? What would you like to see? And I know we kind of use that word impact in a loose way, because, you know, could mean anything, and we can't always measure stuff. But what would you like to happen?
We really focus on industry upskilling in the college, this is just from today, from some discussions I've had with my group today. But vocationally, the upskilling's there, but some staff and staff, the business side of the organisation as well, sometimes may feel that they don't really know how to upskill, or they don't really know what to do. So I think collaboration, going to conferences, finding out what's new, what people are doing, especially in specialisms like English, maths, where conferences is our upskilling, as well as obviously marking. But the overall impact, I think, I'm trying to achieve from the college is best practice, really. Building on our best practice and trying to create the best version of ourselves that we can by collaborating with other people across college and forming those bonds, really, with people. The vocational areas are very segmented, so it's trying to look at what other vocations are doing and cross college and trying to build those bonds. I think that's my ultimate goal, really.
Okay, and that sort of leads on a little bit to this next part of the question, really, because, you know, a big part of this work is the researching side and looking at the coaching and mentoring. Mm. From the outside, I think we can all agree coaching and mentoring is a really good thing and we can see it really effective. But then something weird happens to us when we are subject to being coached or mentored, which yeah. can sometimes put barriers up. So how are you going about kind of getting people into this and kind of remaining enthusiastic about it rather than sort of stand off or hiding away from it?
I think it's changing. It's changing that perception, isn't it? It's a whole ethos of if you have a coach, it's because you've done something wrong, or it's because your lesson observation didn't go as good as you expected it to do. So it's changing that. We're trying to change that attitude. So straight away, you get given a coach as soon as you start with the college. And then they continue on. So it's a never-ending journey, really, if that's what the person wants. Or it ends when you have your 6-month probation. So it's totally up to the hands. It's in the hands of the person rather than the coach or the college. It's giving them that autonomy, really, over the process, even though they are given the coach in the first place. But it's changed the attitude that it's a level playing field. They're there to support and help. They're not there to judge. And having that attitude of the door's always open, which we're trying to create with that triangle of, that they would be your people, that triangle, that group of people where the door's open, you can pop in whenever you want and come and sit in the lesson. And then having those conversations that if you're struggling, talk about it and we can figure out what we can do. So my manager, my WFD specialist, role, she's been team teaching with some of her coaches, which she said is really working, and that's something that we want to look at going forward as well. And when we are coaching, and maybe the coach is struggling with something in particular, that we can team teach and look at other ways that we can adapt in the classroom. So it's definitely about that level playing field and not just having a coach because you've got a grade 3 or, well, we don't grade anymore, but obviously not passing those 1 or 2s, really. Yeah.
It's funny, those things have gone, but they still stick in the back of our minds, don't they? And they're really hard to get past, which is why I asked that question about, you know, people put those barriers up to the coaching and mentoring type conversations.
Yeah.
Is there anything you want to kind of change going forward or try out with it, or are you just kind of going to stick with seeing how it goes?
So that's what we're doing new, really. We're looking at how we coach. We've got this new course running, so that'll be being given out to more people now we've done our pilot. So hopefully the idea is that everyone will be trained in coaching, and that's what I'm hoping, alongside with my ED, that I'll come up with some kind of manual of coaching and, you know, how to adapt how you are as a person to be a good coach, really. So in the future, hopefully.
That will make sense. And we were talking just before we came on to record as well, that you're also looking at this, you described it as English mastery as well. Is that incorporating some of those coaching and mentoring techniques as well at the same time? Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, so we started last year, developing in vocation. So it went from, I forgot the word that they used to call it, because I've used developing so much now. Oh, embedding, sorry. So instead of embedding English and maths, we're now developing English and maths within vocation. So I was tasked with supporting vocational area with their English to develop students' English. Last year, the CPD went really well, but it didn't seem to roll on. So it kind of ended at the CPD and then all was forgotten. So with the mastery, I'm hoping to roll it out to one vocational area first, get some feedback, see how that goes. And basically, it's the skills that the students need to help support and develop those skills, not just for GCSE English, but for vocation and then continuing on to either university or the sector as well that they decide to go in. So it's... And it's not just for GCSE students either, it's for all students. And it's basically a handbook of all different tasks that vocational staff can go to, pick out what they want to do that day or whatever those students are struggling with and use. And we've also got personal development coaches as well, mm-hmm. who sit within our team. And they're also on board with that, and they'll be doing lessons based on some of my mastery handouts. So they'll be forming lessons around that and going into it a bit deeper. So, for example, I've got a sheet on command words. The personal development coach will do a lesson on command words. So that'll happen straight away. So as soon as they get in the classroom with their vocational staff, they'll know what those command words are. So they're able to start understanding what the SA is asking of them, the SA question. So that's what I'm trying to do with that. And that is coaching and supporting those vocational staff with that English.
Excellent. You're going to be really busy.
Very.
That's what I was thinking. I think you've got a lot of projects going on here, Dana.
Yeah.
A lot of projects. I tell you what was really nice to hear is you mentioned LSRN. So for people listening who don't know what that is, that's a Learning and Skills Research Network. And so I'm thinking you must be, are you classed as the Black Country then?
We are, So we've just been to the Dudley one as
yes.
well.
Yes, yeah. I saw the lovely photographs of that. So you must know Jules. Well, yeah. So she's a co-convener in the Black Country. So the way the Learning and Skills Research Network works, for people who've not heard of it, is that there's regional sort of links or conveners that organise activities in their regions. And of course, Jules is one of those. And that's great, actually, because... obviously, I've been part of the LSRM for a while, and that's in part my baby as well. And I never really know where people make connections. So it's always great when you hear, oh, actually, you know, we played a part there. People made a connection, which was great. Okay, well, look, thanks so much for joining us. And we can't wait to hear how you get on as you start your EdD journey. So maybe come back in a year or two and tell us how it's going. Yeah. You'll probably be looking at something entirely different.
More than likely.
and then perhaps revisit us again after that, you know, and when you're further down the line. So, yeah. Thanks so much.
Right. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to the FE Research Podcast, a Sheep Hill Studio production. Thanks for listening, and we hope you can join us again soon.